in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and they're available for free right here on KFH and the Odyssey app. Tune in for coverage as the Royals come back home to Kansas City. That'll be tomorrow. You can always listen as well on the Odyssey app. Search for KFH at game time. Man, oh man, the Royals even the series in New York. We bring in Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman, our Royals insider. Mike, yesterday, I kind of started yesterday and just said, it doesn't feel to me like the Royals are in any sort of desperation. Felt like they probably should have won the first game. The way they're playing lends itself to success in this series. And even in a game where Cole Reagans didn't have his best stuff, it was enough. They felt like they were in control of that game. I don't know what this bullpen revelation is, but to me, it just screams that the Royals are going to be a really, really difficult team to beat in the postseason.
Oh, I agree, especially now. I keep trying to figure out what's gotten into that bullpen. And, you know, the obvious is they're much better. I'd kind of like to know what happened to make that change, but I'm happy if they keep doing what they're doing.
It's just been wild. I mean, you've seen it now in a few games. Let's look at this series as a whole, because the other part of this that makes me pretty confident is we look, and Salvi had his home run last night. Hopefully that awakens him a little bit. But your RBI last night scored another four runs. Garcia, Pham, Hampson. The offense has been productive without its most productive players being very productive. And that's another thing. Like, at some point, if they get, you know, Vinny and Bobby and Salvi to wake up at the same time, again, this is what it all sort of built to, right? Like, we liked the Royals as a playoff team, and this is a reason why. The good news is the bullpen's better than we thought, and the rest of the lineup's been better than we thought.
Yeah, this is a decent lineup right now, especially because, you know, you mentioned Hampson, an unlikely candidate to step up and into the breach when guys like Witt and Pasquantino, you know, really aren't doing anything. They're a combined 0 for 19 in the first two games. And what happens? Hampson gets a really key RBI that gives him a two-run lead yesterday. Michael Garcia has four hits. Perez leads off an inning with a homer. You're exactly right. These are things that really good teams do.
You know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier in this conversation Jake and I were having before you were on with us is the game one situation with the botched call on the steal to second base. I believe it was in the seventh inning. I think that was right. I think it was the seventh inning. And how I thought that replays showed convincingly that the call was blown, that there should have been an out. That single that happened a batter later and scored the steal, it shouldn't have ever happened, and the Royals would win that game. Royals should be up 2-0. Your thoughts on that? And I was certainly glad to see the fact that that did not affect the Royals. They played. Their head was in the game. Everything looked really good. And your comments, though, on that call and what it could have, what it should have, or maybe what no reaction to, a blown call like that.
Well, you know, the first couple of angles, it looks close. And then the next couple of angles, it was just really clear that he was safe. I mean, there was no question about it. I think it had something to do with changing the outcome of the game. But when it gets right down to it, you know, I look at it and I say, yeah, but the Royals also walked eight batters. They had some chances that they didn't capitalize on. But coming away from it, you know, they shook it off. And proof of that is in last night. And again, I harp about what good, maybe not great, but what good teams do is they bounce back from that kind of thing. They brush it off and move on. And that's what the Royals did.
And That doesn't really surprise me. Does it surprise you? I mean, that's kind of been their thing. We've seen this team survive some long losing streaks late in a year. And I think it's probably the Bobby Witt Jr. effect and to some degree Salvador Perez. But I think it's pretty clear to see the DNA of this team. And again, it's why going into game two didn't feel like there was a sense of urgency. All the pressure in the world right now is on the Yankees. Aaron Judge is struggling. You got to go back to their place. It's a series now. Gerrit Cole can't win you two more games. Like, to me, all the pressure is on the Yankees, and that's advantage Royals if they're feeling that way.
Yeah, very much so. You know, the Yankees have this odd pressure of playing in the Bronx, and everybody expects them to win a world championship every year. The fans want Aaron Boone fired every season before the season even begins. And they don't have, you know, the best recent playoff record. So now, they come into Kansas City tied, and they're going to be in front of a crowd, a really hungry crowd, and a really hungry team that is the most resilient Royals team I've seen since 2014. We'll see, I think, tomorrow night. Just what effect this may be having on the Yankees. You know, if the Royals come out and get a lead and step on the proverbial throat early, this thing could be over.
You know what I wish? If you could grant a wish, here would be my wish when it comes to Major League Baseball. I wish that this was for the American League Conference Championship with the New York Yankees, and there were seven games instead of five.
American League pennant in baseball, Paul. It's
pennant. Well, the pennant. Okay. You know what I mean. I want this to be a seven-game series. I'm not going to be happy with a five-game series. I want a seven-game series. Am I wrong on that?
No, I think once you get past the wild card, they really ought to all be seven. Sure, that stretches things out, and you get into the uncertainty of late October, early November weather. But, three out of five, after the first game, it's pretty tough to come back if you lose. And in an ideal world, it would be the Yankees Royals. I think the Yankees Royals is more interesting than if it's, the Royals take this series and then play Detroit or Cleveland, even though they're both good clubs. There's just an aura about Royals Yankees that, a lot of fans haven't experienced that, but I'm certainly old enough to remember the good old days of the 70s. And early 80s. So, yeah, I'd love to see something like that rekindled.
But it's not going to be this year. So now we look ahead to a five game. It's become a best of three series now. Reagans and Gerrit Cole were not the aces that, the teams, their respective teams probably thought they'd be. Each of the teams did win their games that they started. We know it'll be Lugo in the first one against Clark Schmidt, who's been good. We don't know games 4 and 5. How do you think Cutrero plays this out? We saw Lorenzen used in game one. Who is it starting after Lugo the rest of the way, do you think, Mike?
Well, I think they're gonna try as best they can to follow the normal rotation. I'm absolutely certain we're not gonna see Brady Singer. You know, he's out in the bullpen, and I'm not convinced we're going to see Brady Singer in this series at all.
Yeah.
But, you got to stick with what's working. And right now, you'll see Waka, I think, on Thursday. You know, these days off kind of work out really beneficial for the Royals. Yes. The timing is really good. So I don't see any surprises. Now, if it gets pushed to a game five – who knows? That's all hands on deck, and everybody's going to pitch that Cutrero needs to pitch.
So probably stay the same for both teams, too, because it works for both teams. So it goes Cole, Rodon, most likely. So you see rematches there.
Yeah.
And I ask that because knowing that, I feel like the Yankees have the pressure. But if you know Gerrit Cole is likely coming on Thursday, should there be any pressure on the Royals to win the Lugo start?
Yeah, I think the pressure comes no matter who the Yankees are going to will start in, you know, games four and five, if they get there. It's just, you know, this is the time of the season where I don't think the pressure is even more is more or greater from game to game until you get to the elimination games.
You know, I've just got to ask you about the Dodgers and the Padres. I don't know that it's been a while since I've seen two teams that hate each other as much as these two teams do. There's a lot of hate here. How much do you love hating baseball?
You know, that's a good question. I absolutely loved it. You know, in the old Yankees Royals days, I mean, that's just, you know, that used to excite us all. You don't see it much anymore.
That's right.
But I'll tell you something that kind of struck me about the Padres and Dodgers the other night. Maybe we didn't see it. I don't know. You know, they were focusing on Profar and Tatis and you know, what those guys were doing. But normally in those situations, you might see the opposing team, in this case, the Dodgers manager, pop out of the dugout and you know, kind of say, hey, fans, you know, cool it. I never saw Roberts come out of the dugout.
That's right. Yeah,
I think Roberts was fine. He didn't like the stuff being thrown on the field, but I think he liked or appreciated the fact that maybe this is going to fire the Dodgers up. And you know, you look at what Manny Machado did in the dugout.
That's right.
When was the last time you saw
that's right
a player call a dugout meeting? I mean, when he did that, I thought, oh man, this is going to get bad for the Dodgers.
It's incredible. What a great rivalry. I love it. All these series have been really compelling as they all get, I believe, 1-1 now and shortened down. I want to go back to game two for a minute. Mike Gillespie joining us, Kings of Kaufman. You can follow him on X at Mike Gillespie JD. Bubic went two innings last night, which makes sense to me. I thought it would be the plan. He, with a day of rest, should be able to come right back, correct? Do you think he's fine to go here on Wednesday, even though he pitched two innings yesterday?
Definitely. You know, he has shown an ability to come back. You know, they went through that series of games late in the season where Cutrero was pitching people back to back, three or four of them. And I kind of thought that what he was doing was gauging how ready they were to do that come the playoffs. But yeah, I'm more than comfortable with seeing Bubic Wednesday night.
And maybe they need him, right? Because quick trigger seems to be the theme. If Lugo is in any danger Wednesday, I think we see another quick trigger. And I don't blame, you know, there was a time not that long ago where we would have said, Cotrell, you're insane if you hand this over to the bullpen this early in the game. But I fully support it and endorse it now, the way they've been going. If Lugo looks like he doesn't have his best stuff, it may be just like last night or even quicker than last night with Reagans.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Maybe not terribly quickly Wednesday night, but definitely after that. And I don't really think anybody's going to have a real long leash Wednesday night. It's too much at stake.
Man, it's been awesome. What a series. What a postseason. What a season. And it feels good for the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to wake up at some point in this series. Let's just hope he does it before Aaron Judge wakes up. Because you've got these two, you know, the two front runners at MVP who have been non-factors to a large degree in this series, which is wild to think about. But as postseason baseball, Mike, what do you guys have going at Kings of Kaufman for everybody on this day off of the series?
You know, pretty much the usual that we do, keep everybody posted, write what we think that they want to read. And, you know, we've picked it up a little bit here in the playoffs. You know, we're right now, if you come to Kings of Kaufman, we hope you do, you're going to see a lot of stories about the postseason. So, you know, we're kicking it.
It's going to be great. You can follow Mike's work there on social media. Check out Kings of Kaufman. We'll be back next week, and hopefully it's right as we're getting into an American League Championship Series. Got to take care of those pesky Yankees first. High drama for the Royals. We love it, Mike. Appreciate the visit.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
That's our Royals insider, Mike Gillespie. Paul and I have a few more minutes here with you. So, Paul, we give people a second to react to that. We'll have more on the Royals certainly tomorrow and the rest of the show today. As we take a break, and we've got Dan Israel coming up, top of the hour. We've got just a handful of minutes here, so let's cram this in because it's sort of the news of the morning. The Jets fire Robert Saleh. And there was a point this offseason where I said, that's it, I'm out on the Jets. It's just not going to work. I don't think I'm surprised Saleh has been fired. It clearly was a disconnect with Aaron Rodgers. Now, let me say it this way. It doesn't surprise me that Saleh is fired. I would place the blame more on Rodgers than Saleh, but you can fire Aaron Rodgers, right? If it's not working, you have to do something to fix it. And clearly it's not working. I hate mid-season firings, but the Jets probably made the right call here, don't you think?
I don't know, and here's why I don't know, is that last year, as I watched, you know, Hard Knocks, it was obvious that everything was being built around Aaron Rodgers. That whole team geared around Aaron Rodgers as quarterback, Aaron Rodgers as team leader, Aaron Rodgers as emotional leader, you name it. He was going to be the inspiration and the team leader of that football team. You lose him four plays into the first game, he's gone. Things all of a sudden change. That's a tough thing to overcome. Now you got to find not only a quarterback, but you got to find the inspiration, the leader, the team leader, the guy that's going to bring this team together. Hard to do, very hard to do. And it wasn't done, not to the satisfaction of the ownership and obviously, you know, Jet Nation. It was not done. So with that being said, I'm a little more sympathetic with this particular head coach, because there's something between him and Rodgers. And I'm not sure I'm quick to blame the head coach in this situation.
It's not that I'm blaming the head coach.
Okay.
That's not what I'm doing.
Okay.
But you can't fire Aaron Rodgers.
Can't fire Aaron Rodgers.
So if it's not working, mm-hmm. and you've put literally everything on the line for this season, what else are you going to do?
Well, I guess because, I mean, that's a drastic step. It's a drastic step. But it's obvious, and all the little things that have been captured on video have showed, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem to want to be a part of his world, of coach's world. He's not sure that this is his guy. I mean, remember a couple of weeks ago when Saleh tried to hug him, and he backed off and said, no, we're not doing that. And I thought to myself, you know something, that wasn't a miscommunication or something like that. That was disdain between the two. And I think it's obvious now that this has happened, that yes, there is a disdain between the two. Can't have that, Jacob. Can't have that. Can't have that on a professional football team.
No, well, look, Aaron Rodgers is done. He's done after this year. Nobody's going to welcome that in now. But this year still exists.
Right.
And they have enough talent with him there to maybe get it figured out. Mm-hmm. So I don't have, I mean, the Jets have put all their chips in the middle of the table. They won't have a better option than Rodgers. It's almost like you watch them and the Browns, two expected contenders. The Browns not really willing to do anything. They need to be benching
Deshaun Watson. Oh, my God. That's even a worse disaster.
But yeah. The Jets, like, they've got all their chips on the table just like that. And they're like, we're not getting better than Aaron Rodgers. So what are we going to do? Like, what can we do?
Yeah, what do you do with Watson? Doesn't he have like 90? Is it 90, yeah, 100 million guaranteed?
Light that money on fire. You got to still give your team a chance to win. And I applaud the Jets, even if it's the wrong move, I applaud them for making a move to try and fix it. All right. If you want to chime in on that, best way to do it probably is to leave us a voice message through the Odyssey app, because it's going to be a while before, if we get back to it. When we return, we'll be talking some Chiefs. Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, joins the program. It's a party on a Tuesday. Speaking of parties, Wichita Thunder hockey opening night is October 18th. Thunder will take on the Kansas City Mavericks at 7:05. You can get an opening night four-pack, four tickets, and $10 merch voucher. Starts at just $80. You can visit WichitaThunder.com to check that out. More Chiefs talk. Our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, joining us. It's Albrock and Savage at Sports Daily on a Tuesday.
and Odyssey Sports Station. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.